Joining us on the phone on Static this evening, it is great to have tracked down a bloke with an album out this week. Joe from Metronomy, how are you?
Hey, very good. How are you?
I'm doing real good, but you're not living the rock and roll lifestyle quite just yet. You're doing the school run today, Joe.
Yeah, I just dropped the kids off. Now I'm, you know, sitting in a car park drinking beer.
That's a little bit rock and roll then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally rock and roll. Come on.
Well, you are rock and roll with this album out this week. It's your magnum opus, a 17-track album from Metronomy, Joe.
Yeah, I think the next one will be longer. But yeah, it's as of now, it's the magnum opus. It's called Metronomy Forever. And I'm super happy that it's out now for people to kind of pick apart and enjoy.
Did you start out thinking you were going to make such a kaleidoscopic record this time around?
No, not really. Definitely, when I started making the album, I was imagining that I'd make something that was like a pretty traditional, like 10-track kind of affair. And then I just realized that's not really how I don't really listen to albums that much anymore. I listen to the radio a lot, I listen to playlists, that kind of stuff. And so I thought it was much more interesting to try and make something that kind of reflects that.
It feels like you've allowed yourself to include a lot of weirder interludes or detours that in the past you might have trimmed off an album.
Well, yeah, it's weird because I've always had it in me to do that stuff and I've always wanted to, but I think you kind of, I don't know, when you're working in the kind of industry, in inverted commas, you end up becoming a bit more timid or something. So yeah, there's kind of stuff that I've put in that I haven't necessarily done before, and I think then, like, once you open the doors of possibility, then you can kind of just, yeah, it's quite liberating. You can run with it, you know.
I love the liberation of some of the wonkier songs on this record, like Lying Low and Forever Is a Long Time, and the fact they're also mid-record as well. They're not hidden up the back.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about, I don't know, like, it's always funny when people talk about, like, playlists and stuff. I always think to myself, oh, well, like, that's just mixtapes, yeah, like, that's what we were doing years ago. Like, there's nothing really that new about it. And I remember when I would make tapes to people, I would try and throw in little obscure kind of instrumental tracks from random records, you know. And I don't think people are quite, it's quite fun discovering that kind of thing.
Joe, you also moved back to the UK after living in Paris for a few years and making the last two Metronomy albums there. So have you rediscovered yourself as an eccentric Englishman again?
I'm not eccentric yet.
Come on, you're sitting in the car park drinking a beer in the afternoon. That's not too bad.
Okay, I lied about the beer. I'm sitting in the car park. That's all. It's been very nice moving back here, and it's quite fun bringing my, so I was living in France, my girlfriend is French, and we've got two kids who've only lived in France up until now, so it's quite fun bringing them back to kind of where I'm from to some extent. And yeah, you know, like, I think being in the countryside, it changes the way you make music, you know, it makes you a bit more, maybe makes you more eccentric in that way.
Well, you've got your own studio in the shed. In the garden, there's a great video on YouTube of you showing it off. So you've gone whole hog.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a big shed. Like, it's a decent-sized shed, you know. If you could imagine it for anything else, like, you could have a huge tool shed, you know, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could slaughter a bunch of animals in there if you weren't making music.
Yeah, exactly. You really could. Or even, yeah, I mean, whatever floats your boat, you could do that. But, you know, just having somewhere at your home is such a huge difference to having to, like, book time in a studio and kind of work around other people's timetables and stuff. So, yeah, it's been really cool.
Did the move also reflect itself in the songs on this record? Because, like with the English Riviera, which was a love letter to your hometown of Totnes and Devon, you can kind of take the boy out of southwest England, but, you know, once you're back in there, this album's got another local tribute in Whitsun Bay, Joe, which is not too far away,
yeah,
right?
So I live in, like, the southeast of England, and I grew up in the southwest, but Whitsun Bay is close to where I grew up. I think that track to me feels like it could almost have been on the English Riviera or something. Like, it feels like all that kind of world. I mean, I don't know, I think, like, by now, I'm kind of quite relaxed about what it is that I do, and I think that probably I've been a bit preoccupied with, like, I guess, like, I lived in the southwest until I was 18, And then I left to kind of find my way in music. And since then, I seem to have missed where I grew up. So it's a bit like, I've just written a lot about where I grew up.
Well, it seems to have made you a little reflective, because another song on this record, Upset My Girlfriend, recounts how you used to play drums with the upsides and the customers.
Yeah.
It's even got the lyrics, they kicked me out because I used to feel it, and so I would speed up, which is something I'm sure every drummer can relate to, Joe, and that's what you did as a teenager, right?
Yeah, but I should point out that no one ever kicked me out of a band, and I never sped up. I was very good. I thought it was kind of a nice idea that a drummer would get kicked out because they were too kind of emotionally attached to the music.
So does that mean that the second part of the tale in the song about you crashing your dad's car around a tree is also not true life?
No, that's not, but an ex-girlfriend of mine did do that. I was thinking about a specific tree, like when I was writing that bit, there was a specific tree I had in mind, but it wasn't my car or my dad's car. Yeah.
And last year, Joe, you oversaw a 10th anniversary reissue of 2008's Nights Out album. Did revisiting that record feed into what you were doing for Metronomy Forever in any way? Was it a reminder of what you set out to achieve 10 years ago?
It kind of was. I think at the time I felt a bit distracted by it because I was, you know, obviously trying to make this album and then I was doing a few interviews at the time for that album and I felt like, I don't want to talk about that. It was 10 years ago. But then the more I thought about it, the more kind of significant I realized it was. And I started thinking about that record and certainly how I felt when I made that record and what it was I was trying to do. And I think, I guess probably like the thing is, it's basically someone drawing attention to the fact that you're like 10 years older than you were. And that makes you feel all sorts of different things. But yeah, it feels like that time, like that record, Nights Out, was the one that gave me a career and gave us a job and a career in music.
And Joe, the other thing you've done in the interim between the last Metronomy album and this one is work a fair bit on other artists' material. You contributed to Robin's album Honey, and of course she had guested on a song on Summer 08, and more recently you had a hand in the Jessie Ware single Adore You. So did working on those other projects feed into the way that this album has ended up sounding?
Yeah, definitely. I think you spend so long, you know, with the Robin record, I kind of was really heavily involved in that. And spent a long time, you know, working with her and trying to get this feel of a record together and to sort of focus on you're helping someone else find a sort of sound or a world for their record. And I think when you spend that much time with someone else and then you go back to your own music, which in the studio for Metronomy is essentially a kind of solo thing, you start to realize, what's my sound? Like, what am I about? And so I kind of ended up trying to like produce myself in the same way that I was producing Robin and trying to kind of, because so much of production when you're working with someone else is basically telling them that something that doesn't feel quite right is a good idea. musically speaking, of course, you're kind of saying like, this doesn't sound like what people expect you to do, but it's a really great idea. And so I tried to apply that to my own work.
It's a lot of coaxing, but I also wondered if doing those purely big pop songs for other artists also takes the pressure off you in some way and lets you be a bit more idiosyncratic as Metronomy as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is Robin wanted to work with me because she liked what I do. And I think that in itself is a huge seal of approval. You know, like, she didn't like me for any other reason than I am myself. And so I think definitely that's a sort of a real like confidence boost in being yourself.
And Joe, there's still some bangers on this Metronomy album regardless. Insecurity is this new wave disco bop that sounds like The Cars, and then the single Salted Caramel Ice Cream sounds like a long lost single by The Buggles. So you're still in search of the perfect pop song yourself, right?
I think I'm not sure if I'm searching for like the perfect one, but I think pop music now is so broad in what it can be that I still feel like there is this side of pop music which is underrepresented at the moment, which is that kind of, is that like prefab sprout or that kind of Buggles-y, like that kind of weird new wavy pop that you kind of don't really hear so much these days. So I think that's the corner I'm fighting.
I also like that feeling of happy accidents in song as well, and you've fessed up for how the hook for Walking in the Dark was created via finding a preset rhythm on an old keyboard of yours. So are they still sort of the best way to create a song, where things sort of accidentally happen?
I think, yeah. I mean, I think probably, like, I would hazard that 80% of the best, most popular pop songs in the world are happy accidents, you know? I think that's the kind of magic of it, and I think people try to deny it because it doesn't seem like very professional, but I think, like, that's how everyone does it.
That's going to be on your gravestone, is it, Joe? He had a lot of happy accidents.
Well, actually, no, I know I'm putting on my gravestone, I'm putting on my eBay seller and buyer score. That's what's going to be on my gravestone.
Have you got a perfect eBay seller score?
Absolutely. I wouldn't put it on my gravestone otherwise.
So your eBay seller score is way better than your Metacritic score, is it?
Oh. I mean, yeah, probably.
Look, I think that's something all musicians should be aiming for. You know, well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm proud of it.
It's so great to have this album out in the world, Joe. We might have a listen to Insecurity right now. It was great to get you on the phone, and you go back to not drinking in the car park then?
No, yeah. Sorry, I should. Yeah, I mean, obviously, drinking and driving is a ridiculous idea. I've literally just dropped my children off at school. It's very early in the morning, so yeah, there's no drinking. Yeah, don't worry.
I'll go and bid on a few items on your eBay site for you to bump up your rating even more if you like.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, this is Insecurity from Metronomy now on Static. Thanks for the talk, Joe.
Thank you very much. I've got an insecurity.